when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Here we stand before the holy God of heaven and earth, to make a vow to him that if he will protect us and deliver our enemy into our hand. We have this day and date every year as a day of thanks, as a Sabbath shall spend, and that we will raise up a house to his glory, for it pleases him. And we will say to our children that they should share with us in the memory also for the emerging generations. For the glory of his name will be glorified by the fame and the honor of victory to him. That prayer was answered 185 years ago on the banks of the Nkomo River, now known as Blood River, where just a handful of white Christians defeated an army of over 30,000 raising Zulus, the cream of the crop, the baddest of the bad of African warriors, and they were totally annihilated on the banks of the Nkomo River. The river turned so red with blood, the blood of the enemy. To this day, it's named, still forever, Blood River Radio. That's what we dedicated this radio show years ago when we first started in 2018 to try to spread the word to fight white genocide, global white genocide. Today, Rich Hamlin sent me a message today. God bless him, our tough as hell brother. That was today is the 185th anniversary of the Day of the Vow. We're really unprepared to do the entire presentation of South Africa, but have no fear, we will do a pretty much a full presentation next week. And as I also explained on the fly, as I was in my truck going back and forth, not able to communicate like I would like to, we under so much duress here in the United States that, you know, just as Hitler could not come to the aid of Finland during the war with the Soviets, we are getting less and less able to come to the aid of the South Africans. And who are we? We are Blood River Radio. We are the only radio station in the United States of America, and probably the only one in the world that's dedicated, sworn, we were sworn on the holy altar of God Almighty to fight against global white genocide. That's right, Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. I will be your ambassador, your host tonight. We have some other people, and we have put together a program. We've had already modified it several times. That's the way live radio is. We have two wonderful people on. We bring people in and off the bench all the time, including me. Sometimes I'm off the bench when I'm gone. Rand and Nancy and Monica will take the reins. But we have the one and only Mark Tommy, another fire eater. That's what I love about Mark. He's a fire-eating SOB, just like yours truly. We also have another surprise guest coming in a few minutes, Miss Mindy Esposito. And she has had really on fire news to tell us about it. But people, I kind of started half of the prayer. This is a Christian radio show. I would like to say a prayer. It's kind of unorthodox, but it's going to be a prayer. Almighty God, just as 185 years ago, Almighty God, just as your chosen people, the white Christians, battle the godless black hordes on the Nkomo River, we too, God, are having to battle the godless hordes of every color imaginable, every color that the Jews can throw against us. Only our Lord, our Blood River is thousands of miles across. It's the entire continent of the United States of America. God, I would like to plead to you No, I don't care what the rest of this country does, Almighty God. Please let Blood River Radio stand resolute and solid and never bowing a knee, never worshiping Baal, no matter how bad it looks. Never let us cease to ride to the gunfire. Let us always do your will, God, just like our brothers and sisters did on the bank of the Encomay River 185 years ago today. Let us do the same thing. Let us fight no matter how unbearable, no matter how impossible the odds may look, as they did 185 years ago. It looked impossible to do what our people did. They defeated the 35,000 plus, and our people never suffered one casualty. Not one person died. Three minor injured. Let us, Lord, even if we die doing it, fighting against the enemy, let us take up the sword just as our people did, Lord, 185 years ago. And God, please grant us the victory. If we can't find Abraham could not find enough people to save to Christians in Sodom and Gomorrah, let us find, if we can't, just what few we can have, 10, 20, 50, 100, a remnant. Let us defeat the enemy here in the United States, or let us drive them back into hell. I ask all this in Jesus' name. We have tonight, people, like I said, we have switched the plans here on Blood River Radio, but if you know what comes next, always, is we have to give honor to our dear, precious supporters. None other than Gene Andrews, the bitter ender himself, sent in a very pretty card. And I was just telling Mark a few minutes ago, I could lose anything. I lose my hat. In fact, I lost a glove last week while I was deer hunting. I always do. But anyway, Gene Andrews sent in a nice card. If I can find it, I'll read it later. But he sent in a nice card with a very nice donation. Thank you so much, Bitter Ender. The Bitter Ender will be on the third hour tonight, along with probably Mindy Esposito. Also, we have Harold of Jonesboro. He sent in a nice letter. We don't really have time to read that letter tonight. We have so much to cover. But thank you, Mr. Harold. Thank you very much. And I will read that letter maybe on another show if I get time, but I'm not promised. Can't promise that. Also, somebody I was just thinking about yesterday, day before yesterday, hadn't heard from a while. Oh, Sasquatch. Sasquatch and Mrs. Sasquatch down there in Florida. They sent in a card and a really nice donation. And he sent in a note. And I can, going from memory, the note that the Sasquatch sent said something like this: Eddie, the world is crazier, even crazier than ever, getting crazier every time, every day. Keep up the good work, and here's a great donation. It was a really good donation, and thank you so much. Also, Frank White from way up yonder north of the Mason-Dixon line. We have a lot of supporters north of the Mason-Dixon line, people. They're much harder core than any of these faggots here in Memphis. When Memphis is not only it's like Nairobi on the Mississippi. In fact, we used to call where I worked the med here in Memphis, the city hospital. We called it Nairobi General. And this is what we called it, buddy. You can imagine why. But anyway, thank you so much, Frank White, and all your people up there, all the associates that I get to see every time I go up there and run the marathon, except for this year when I was too sick. Well, that's it for the donors tonight, people. And that what we're going to do. I'm going to bring in Mark Tummy, our precious brother, our precious League of the South brother, and brother. Really, he bails us out here all the time. He came in on a dime. I threw out the call and said Monica was missing, Rand couldn't come on. So I want, and plus my voice is not recuperating like it should from New York. But we're going to cover a lot of stuff. Then we're going to bring Miss Mindy Esposito in on the second segment. Second hour will be the bell cow, if Shirley will, Sister Nancy Hitt. And then the third hour is going to be the Bitter Ender and probably Nancy Esposito. Again, we're going to run her from the first hour to the third hour. This will be the second time we've ever done that in the history of Blood River Radio. But before we go to our first break, we've got to bring in the fire and brimstone. And that's why I love him so much. Fire and brimstone. He tells it like it is. Mark Tommy, the Rambling Wreck. How you doing tonight, Rambling Wreck?
I'm doing great, Eddie. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Great pleasure to be on with you. We have, you know, like I said, we've kind of switched horses in the middle of the stream as far as show plan and show notes. But when we come back, we'll talk with Miss Nancy Esposito. And I'd like to also mention this, people. Some of the things we're going to cover. Satan. Miss Teenage America said something. What was that you said, Miss Lizzie? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I said Nancy Esposito. I meant Mindy. Hey, that young brain caught it, buddy. Thank you so much, Miss Lizzie. But I meant Miss Mindy Esposito. She'll be coming in a few minutes. But we're going to talk about, amongst other things, she's carrying a big topic. But we're going to, if we have time, we'd like to cover the spread of Satanism in the United States, people. We have the spread of Satanism right here in Memphis. I can ride a bicycle to a Chimney Rock Elementary School here in Memphis, Tennessee. I've ridden my bicycle by there many times. They're putting in an after-school satanic club. We'll talk about that later. We have a representative from the state of Mississippi. His name was Michael Cassidy from Lauderdale, Mississippi. He ran for representative, his U.S. representative or state representative. He's in trouble right now because he damaged a statue to Baphomet. That's one of the things we'll talk about when we come back. We got to take a quick break. And as soon as we come back, we're going to bring on Miss Mindy Esposito and Mark Tommy, and they're going to carry pretty much the rest of this hour. We'll be right back, folks.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so very much for holding out. And dear family, I'm so sincere. Thank you so much. After having a long drought of donations, and please know I'm not plugging for donations, because you know what, it seems like God has taken care of what we need. I'd like to let people know, everybody who's ever sent in a nickel to our program, we were able to write Liberty News Radio a check. We paid 1 year in advance of airtime, so we have paid a year in advance for airtime. Now we're saving to pay next year's 2025 airtime. Plus, we want to take some trips to like to Washington, D.C. and other places like that to make noise and shine light. And hopefully, we've talked about that on previous shows. Just one more time, I'd like to thank our dear family that keeps us on the air. Now, there's never enough time. We're going to bring in Miss Mindy Esposito. She's been on several times, and she's been a hit. And we're going to bring her in, and we're going to get Mr. Mark. He's been so gracious to come on and bail my tail out of the fire. So how are you doing tonight, Miss Mindy? I'd like you to say hello to the audience and tell them what you've been up to this week. You've been very busy.
A waking moment, calling Congress, calling the governor of Virginia and the Speaker of the House and everybody we could possibly get a hold of. I know a lot of our members also called the White House, trying to stop the removal of the Reconciliation Monument at Arlington National Cemetery. They've got their attention. I know they've got their attention. Some are not happy about it, but we're down to the wire, and we're hoping it will still be there Monday. It'll take 4 days for them to actually remove it. And the DOD is planning on using a helicopter to fly it out of there. But right now we're waiting on an injunction from the Federal Appeals Court, because the Congress has already voted to defund the removal of the monument in their Department of Defense budget. And they, thank God for Representative Andrew Clyde from Georgia. He's been spearheading this. I know many of your listeners may have heard about the Clyde Amendment. And he and 43 other representatives in the House of Representatives signed on to basically a cease and desist letter to the DOD on Tuesday, telling them that they were violating the separations of powers Act of the Constitution, and they also sent another letter yesterday. And Defend Arlington has filed the appeal. We're just waiting on an injunction, and they're optimistic that will happen on Monday. I'm not so optimistic, but that's where we're at.
You know, Miss Mindy. Now we were talking earlier today after I talked to you. What was the reason did y'all? Why did y'all cancel out your physical trip to Washington D.C.? Was it because of money, fears of being arrested, et cetera?
After consulting with the people over at Defend Arlington, we decided that the travel time alone, we didn't want to take that away from our campaign. We rallied our troops. Southern Independence Association has over 45,000 affiliated members. That means groups and other people, not necessarily SIA members per se, but all the groups that are affiliated with us. And we spent literally every waking moment rallying those people to make the calls. And we decided that would be more effective than the leaders of SIA to travel to Washington and not help our membership to get behind this movement. So I think that was effective. We have SIA members, and our chairman of the board, Everett Boland, will be going to Arlington on Monday. They will be protesting outside of Arlington at the pedestrian entrance for part of the day. And if they have not started the removal or they have not blocked off Section 16, they will be laying a wreath at the monument and also laying flowers on our Confederate graves that are up there.
So, do y'all do? And one, let's see, two more questions for them. We'll give them Mark. In the future, anytime future, does the SIA planning to go in mass, so to speak, 10, 20, 100, 200 people up there to DC Arlington?
We had considered that, and the board took it under advisement. We were considering doing that on Monday. Unfortunately, we thought that it put our members at too big of a risk, because the federal government could and probably would arrest them. And we know what happened to the January 6th people. They put them in jail, and, you know, for like 3 years before they even brought them to trial. And it was just too big of a risk. It would could cost our members their liberty and legal fees that no normal person can pay. So we are not sanctioning this event. We're not, but we have gotten all the information for our members to help keep them safe while they're there. Nobody plans on doing anything illegal or anything violent or anything like that. They're just going to protest. Unfortunately, the Marxist DOJ right now doesn't really need facts to arrest and harass people if they're doing something they don't agree with. And so we felt at this time it was not a good idea for us to tell our members, sure, let's meet up in at Arlington.
You know, with one last comment, our other precious co-host and brother, League of the South brother, Rand Owen and I, we have been planning on going to Washington, D.C., going to the steps of the Capitol building with our bullhorns, handing out leaflets for Blood River Radio, and bringing, we wanted to get at least one, preferably two sailors from the USS Liberty to go with us. In fact, we were talking about that with Bill Torney. We haven't set the date. So we are, after what you said and what we know about the January 6th thing, we're going to have to really think that over. We have a friend that lives there, Peter Coop Stanton, who has a radio program, comes on from 9 till 10 on this same network. So with that said, let me turn this over to Mark. Mark, what questions and comments do you have, brother?
Mindy, if you would say again what SIA stands for.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. It's the Southern Independence Association. Okay. And we're primarily focused on taking back our state sovereignty and nullifying unconstitutional federal laws. We typically do not work with the federal government because we don't feel that it makes any difference when we try to work with them. But this, in this case, with the Reconciliation Monument, we felt that it was worth a strong effort to try and save it, because of what it is, where it's at, the history of Arlington itself, and the history of the monument, because people don't realize this. It was actually a gift from the North to the South after the Spanish War, after the Confederate and the Union soldiers who had fought against each other during Lincoln's War fought in the Spanish War. They all wanted to be brothers again, and it was dedicated by Woodrow Wilson, but it was important to President McKinley as well. So and we don't feel that an unelected panel of people get to decide for the whole country what history we get to keep. So it's for that reason we got involved.
All right. So would it be safe for me to say that the overall goal or thrust of your organization is more state autonomy and state sovereignty staying within the United States, or are you, as your name of your organization indicates, are you open to the idea of secession from the federal Union?
It is our sincere desire that we are able to work within the Constitution and take back to, I shouldn't say the founders, because it's not the founders, but to our founders that formed the Constitution, that we live the way that was intended to be. And that's with the federal government, with only specific enumerated rights and powers and everything else.
We have to go for a quick break, Miss Mindy. We'll be right back. Sorry you have to interrupt.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters.
We misidentified hostages for enemy combatants and sadly shot them. That is what went wrong, and that is a mistake that happened in the heat of battle.
Protests in Tel Aviv after the military acknowledges soldiers killed three Israeli hostages in Gaza by accident. The news sparking outrage among the families of the more than 100 hostages still being held by Hamas terrorists. Here's IDF spokesman Jonathan Conricus.
We are going to continue with the mission here, and for us there is no such luxury as to stop and think and pause and ponder after each event on the ground.
And he says, as for the move forward,
we have also issued guidance to all of the troops on the ground in order to understand, again, the complexity, more awareness, and how to prevent this from happening again.
To the war in Ukraine now, as the country approaches 2 years of the Russian invasion, supplies getting low and the shortages apparently impacting the morale of some of the troops. President Zelensky was here visiting Washington, D.C. looking for money, but Congress has not yet approved more funding. USA News for Your Health now, a report the FDA suspects some applesauce pouches tainted with lead that made some kids sick across the U.S., the apparent result of a manufacturer cutting corners. Three brands of cinnamon applesauce reportedly had lead poisoning. At least 125 children ages 1 to 6 became ill. The Wanabana, Schnucks, and Wise products were recalled nearly 2 months ago, but the FDA is now also investigating two companies based in Ecuador, Austro Foods that produced the fruit pouches, and Negasmart that supplied the cinnamon. This is USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, once again, thank you so much for our donors this past week. Thank you for keeping us on the air. Now I'm going to do my humble, my best to try to put together what Miss Mindy and Mr. Mark are going to talk about. Miss Mindy says that she'll correct me when I'm wrong. She'll straighten that when she comes on in just a second. With the Southern Independence Association, they are trying to work within the Constitution, just like our forefathers that seceded from the Yankee government in 1860, like they did. They tried to go by the Constitution. Matter of fact, the Southerners, the Confederates, were trying to save the Constitution, according to Gene Andrews. And I put a lot of stock what Gene says. So the Independence Association is trying to work right now through the Constitution. They're trying to put together the network of Southern states, because she says that without support of the states' governments that are already in place, it would be probably, if not impossible, almost improbable that we would ever be able to actually succeed. Now, where the League of the South has differed, and I would go to Mark, and I want them to let me know where I said was wrong. The League of the South says that we have been trying to get along with those people for 150 years, and they have just kind of tromped on us being the Southerners, because there are more of them. They have more money, more guns, more population, more of everything, and they just kind of like, urinate on us. And so the league's position is that we will never be able, we being the South, will never, ever be able to work with them. We'll never be able to get along with them at all. So go ahead, Miss Mindy, did I do it right or wrong? Tell the people how the actual mechanical mechanism that the SIA is going to use in order to try to regain Southern independence. And then we'll go to let Mark give his view. Go ahead, Miss Mindy, if you will, please.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And the issues of 1861 were never resolved. They've never been resolved. We were brought back into the Union at the point of a bayonet. We are an occupied country. We are still legally seceded. We never renounced secession. It is our goal to get it right this time, and to say this is the Constitution of the United States. This is what we all signed up for. And we are taking back our state sovereignty. We are. It's not that we're trying. We're actually doing it. We have, as you know, we have the law or the bills that are coming up in 2024 in Tennessee to do exactly that. It's to take back our sovereignty and nullify unconstitutional laws. And that includes refusing federal funds for education, healthcare mandates, for a variety of different things, because we're not going to be held hostage by federal funds that we pay anyway. So it's important to have our state governments with us to elect people to office, to state office, and this goes down to county, down to dog catcher, as a matter of fact, all the way up to the governor and the legislators in your state, so that no matter what happens, where your state is and our state is working for the people, and as a people, for an individual state, they'll decide what's best for them, and that's the way it was always supposed to be. It was never supposed to be like this. Lincoln changed that. It went from the United States, or these United States, to the United States. It never was before. All of the parameters of what we were intended to be were changed then. And it was leading up to him. It wasn't just him. It had started in the 1820s. So it had been an issue almost from the beginning. And Mark is absolutely right. We're, you know, as long as they can outvote us, we're basically at their mercy. And they can do what they want. But it's time now that we stand up and say, no, that's not who we are. That's not what we were ever supposed to be. And we're taking back our rights within the Constitution. Now, the Southern Independence Association also believes that we have a serious problem in America, in that the people who are in charge and in power are actually Marxist communists. That's not hyperbole. That's actually what they are. So you'll never be able to work with them. And if they have their way, they will usher in the Great Reset, which is a euphemism for the New World Order. And that's what they're trying to do. And a lot of countries around the world are trying to do the exact same thing. And when that happens, no, we won't be a part of that. The people that share our beliefs and our heritage, we're not going to go for that. So, yeah, if we have to leave, we'll leave. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. It certainly does. Mark, if you will, please, dear brother, give us your view on the League of the South. Where do you differ from the SIA? Where do you agree? And my question is, when you get through with your end, before you go back to Miss Mindy, let us know if you think we will be invaded again, as Lincoln's invaded us. Back in 1860, when the League and or the SIA or both try to pull this off, secession from the Union, either physically or secession legally, if that makes sense. Go ahead, Mr. Mark.
Yeah, well, we're the League and SIA, as we were talking during the break, are in agreement on a number of policy issues and tactics and so forth. I think where the difference is, as I stated during the break, was that from the inception of the league, we had already decided that we were through trying to work with the Yankee government in Washington. And, you know, the South will never be able to remain the South as long as it is pinned to the Federal Union by bloody bayonets. And so the objective has to be secession, unequivocally, without hesitation, without any reservation. The longer we stay attached to the Federal Union, the more we face genocide against everything that we believe in and hold dear. And so, you know, we also think that, you know, what we've been trying to do with the league is, of course, it would be nice to get some people elected to your state legislatures or your your governorship and that kind of thing that would be amenable to secession. The practicality of that is that most of them are so entrenched in the suckling at the federal tit system that they don't want to defy the powers that be in Washington because they're afraid they'll lose their, you know, their federal funds. Now, again, the league has had an answer to that problem for a long time. Of course, you know, you got to get somebody to introduce this into the state legislature, but for a long time, we've had what we call our tax escrow bill that would require the state to collect all federal revenue and hold it in trust only relinquish money for things that are constitutional. Until you can cut the money off, as long as the federal government can reach directly into every individual citizen's pocketbook and extract taxes from them and that kind of thing, it's going to be difficult to be able to resist them because they're going to have the resources. If you take all those resources and keep them in your state to begin with, if you don't surrender them to Washington, D.C. in the first place, now you have control over your financial destiny. And this is the thing that so many people don't stop and think about. And as Professor Donald Livingston, who used to teach at Emory University in Atlanta, used to say, you know, most of our people suffer from an appalling lack of political imagination nowadays. They have been brainwashed and browbeat into thinking that, well, if the federal government doesn't say it's okay, then it's off the table. It, you know, it's not even worth considering. And that's how they keep you enslaved. You've got to break out of the box. You've got to think critically, and you've got to be willing to do things that you know they're not going to like in order to push back against them. And so so you've got to capture all of your money in your own state and only release it for the things that you deem as constitutional that are being done by the federal government. And you know, in that case, that cuts off the flow of money from Montgomery to Washington, D.C., from a raging river to a trickle, because 95% of what they do is not to be found in the U.S. Constitution. But that's part of the problem, and that's part of the problem, too. There is no rule of law anymore. The Constitution, George W. Bush said it was just a goddamn piece of paper. So
you're exactly right. And with that comment, Mark, my brother, we have to go to our final break of the first hour. We'll be right back, dear people. Hang on.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
I gave you power, huh? Well, let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we'll try to wrap this part of the conversation up just for a second. I want to tell an anecdotal story that I went through last Wednesday on my abbreviated deer hunting trip. So before I go to that story, I'd like to ask our guest, Miss Mindy, is there anything you'd like to add to what we've been talking about? If we don't have time to tell that story, if I don't have time, that's fine because you're the honored guest.
Oh no, we were just, I'd like to hear this story. But what we were talking about, we were basically in agreement. The Southern Independence Association, though, is kind of middle of the road America. We're just normal people, but we're Southern, and we're attempting to basically do what nobody's been able to do yet, and that is take our states back. And we do differ a little bit from League of the South, and we're very inclusive. And we're a mainstream sort of organization. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, and that's probably one other principled place where we differ from each other. The league has always made a distinction between Southerners and Americans, because to be an American, as it's understood by the popular culture and the powers that be, in government and media and so forth, is antithetical to what it means to be a Southerner. And so our argument has been for almost 30 years that our people have got to make a choice. Do you want to be a good patriotic Southerner and see your country free from this evil regime? Or do you want to continue to be a star-spangled fairy dust in your eyes, you know, Yankee rag-waving American who's willing to let them walk all over you for the sake of, you know, being able to slap your hand over your heart and pledge allegiance and all that other horse manure that they make you do? And, you know, so for us, we don't consider ourselves Americans. We consider ourselves Southerners because we think there's a diametrical difference between the two.
And I can appreciate that, and I understand that's where you come from, but it's important to know where we started, and there's a whole history here, and I have fifth and sixth great grandfathers who fought for the Continental Army. One died at Bunker Hill. They had a reason. There was a reason.
Yeah, and you are.
I understand what you're saying. I am a Southerner, and I believe that the Confederacy was right, and they had the right to secede, and they had the right to have to for our own government. We were totally we were totally done wrong by America. And most people don't even, in this country don't even realize what was done to the South and how unconstitutional it was and how we got to where we are. And I don't have a problem being a separate country, but there's a system to that. There's a system, a systematic way to go about doing that. And you need the whole history. And yeah, I'm an American, but I'm a Southerner, and I fly the American flag upside down. I proudly fly the Confederate, the Third National. And that's the flag that we use for the Southern Independence Association. But we're not, we're reasoned people. And when you say, a lot of what you said makes perfect sense, and that's exactly what we're trying to do in Tennessee, is say, no, we're not going to be held hostage by federal funds. And if we ever have to be independent, we already have the money. I mean, because what we're doing is refusing federal funds and still paying in to the federal system as long as we're, as long as we have to. But when we're independent, we can support ourselves because we have that money. So I understand what you're saying. And I think our end goal is basically, I shouldn't say the same, but it's very close.
I would classify your objective as to be the intermediate step to our objective.
Probably so, but keep in mind that we consider ourselves already seceded. We never renounce that. We consider ourselves an occupied country. We've tried to deal with that as best we could. And I had a lot of members, not a lot, I had a few members that objected to us trying to save the monument. They said, just let it go. We're not reconciled. And I get that. I get what you're saying, but there's a lot of history there, not only to the monument, but to Arlington and the connection to Martha Washington, Moses Ezekiel, who was a 19-year-old cadet when those 257 boys charged head into Union cannon fire and captured the Union artillery and were the heroes of the Battle of New Market. 10 of them died defending their country.
The trouble with that, Mindy, is that the other side are a bunch of barbarians who don't care about that history and who could give a rat's rear end about any of that kind of stuff. We're the only ones who care.
No, they want to erase our history because that's what communists do. They erase a people's history and replace it with their propaganda. And that's what we're in the middle of. And so we're actually dealing on several different fronts at the same time. And you're right. You're right about that. But the American people, the middle of the country, most of the middle of the country, when they know the truth and when they see what's happening, they don't want that either. So it's kind of a three-tiered chess game. Does that make sense?
Mindy, I have a question.
Sure.
I think probably, if I read you right, probably where you're thinking, and I'm thinking in a way, is where the United States, the original government, say of Patrick Henry's government, George Washington's government, Thomas Jefferson, probably, you know, a short time after the Independence War was won and the Constitution was settled, probably, 1789? Probably by the early 1800s, the United States ceased to be these United States. It's like you talked about it. You said it wasn't the United States. It was these United States, an independent, kind of like a conglomeration, a confederation, so to speak. And it was good. And so, and I'm kind of struggling here. But so what you're saying is in other words, the Confederacy, what our ancestors who tried to secede from the Yankee government in 1860, they really were, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying they really were wanting to kind of return to the pre-communist takeover of the Lincolnites. So the Confederacy really wanted to be more like, all the Confederacy was a return to, say, 1800. Before it became communist. Is that what you're saying?
You know, Jefferson, yes, but, Jer- Eddie Jefferson Davis famously said, you know, when he resigned from the Senate and ended up becoming president of the Confederacy, he made the comment that that he would rather leave the Union with the Constitution than remain in the Union without it.
That's right. That's exactly what he said.
Okay.
And so here we are, 160 years down the road, and we're still in the Union without the Constitution.
So I was on the right trail then.
Worse than ever. Well, yeah, we're worse than ever now. No, you're absolutely right. They were actually patriots. The Confederates were more American than the Union because they wanted to abide by the Constitution. They wanted to honor their ancestors that fought and died. General Lee, Robert E. Lee's father was Light Horse Harry Lee. He was a Revolutionary War hero. And his wife's grandmother was Martha Washington, for goodness sake. I mean, and even when we were the Confederacy, we were still Americans, the Confederate States of America. We share the continent, so that makes us all Americans, but we have a history together as a people, and it's important to know that history. But our history and our schools have totally bastardized our history. I'm sorry if I got in trouble for saying that, but they did.
No, you're totally right.
They propagandized it.
The other thing
I'm sorry,
is,
go ahead.
From a historical standpoint too, if you want to you know, look at it from that standpoint, there's copious evidence from the Revolutionary period and the original founding of the Union and so forth in the late 1700s that most of the wise statesmen on both sides of the Potomac River realized that it was two different civilizations who were trying to combine under this single government. And most of them didn't expect it to last more than 40 or 50 years. You know, Thomas Jefferson said that, you know, he expected the thing to break up into four or five different republics over the course of, you know, the next 80 to 100 years. And, you know, if the principles of the Declaration of Independence mean anything, then that's exactly how it ought to happen. You know, I've got a copy of the constitutional law text that was used at West Point in the early 1800s, and it's got an entire chapter on a state seceding from the Union.
Wow!
It was always believed that if they could leave when they wanted to, it was a voluntary union, for goodness sake.
Absolutely, statements that was written into that chapter by the author of it, who was a guy from Pennsylvania, if you can believe that. His name was William Rawl. He said, for a state to remain part of the Union depends on the will of the people of the state. If they decide they don't want to have representation in the federal government anymore, then that's perfectly fine. You know, so this is part of the argument that we get into today. You know, those who are against Southern independence or who think that it's somehow not possible, they always throw the legal argument up. Well, it's not legal. It's illegal to secede. That's a bunch of crap. Secession is not a legal question. It is a political question. It's a question of the sovereignty of the people to decide what kind of government they're going to have. And no court has jurisdiction over that, regardless of what the Yankee apologists would have you believe. And so if the people of a state want to withdraw from the Union, there's no court anywhere that has the power to say you can't do it. Now, that doesn't mean they won't try to fight you, because that's what they did to us in the 1860s. You know, they marched an army down here regardless of the rightness of the position that the South took at the time. But the point is that we've got to disabuse ourselves of this false and fatal notion that we have to have somebody's permission to leave the Union. We do not.
Well, Mark, with that, we have run completely out of time for the first hour. We will transition to the second hour with Mark and Miss Nancy, and we will get Miss Mindy has graciously agreed to come back on the third hour. Miss Mindy, we'll see you in the third hour, dear. Bring you back some new good news for us then. And Mark, you hang on, brother. We're going to go to the second hour and pick up Miss Nancy. Be right back, folks.